Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, let's just get through this Monday, and life is going to be better. The Saints are on the West Coast. They went from L.A. to Seattle. As you've heard in the news, and it's kind of good news, Drew Brees is getting a second opinion and may not have to have surgery. So at this point, we don't know how long he's going to be out. Teddy Bridgewater obviously is going to start this Sunday against the Seattle Seahawks. And, you know, with the focus on Teddy, with the first team, and with Sean Payton, as a caller pointed out, working a game plan around him and his strengths, this could turn out to be an okay situation against the Seahawks. And, you know, then we've got Dallas. I mean, but look, we've got some tough games coming up. But if Drew Brees is out for, say, six games, all we have to do is stay competitive in the NFC South. And if we do, got a great chance of getting to the playoffs. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870 and our text is 870-870. Look, I'm not doing any crying about the officiating, but in the same way that people complain about things that are unfair in life, there has been some unfairness when it comes to officiating. And I wrote an op-ed blog for our website, WWL.com. And it's titled, Blown Call, It Happened Again. And it did. And it's just incomprehensible to believe that there would be another blown call in a game between the Saints and the Rams. But it happened. And it just seems to me that officials should be held accountable. Also, I want to add this to the conversation. And our phone lines are lit up. And I'll get to your calls. We've had a really busy day. Ian Hoke has done a great job answering everybody's calls. It's been a very, very busy Monday. But it was 55 years ago today, the Beatles performed in New Orleans at City Park Stadium. Were you there? Do you even remember being there? What do you remember about that concert? And was that your first concert? I don't even remember my first concert. But one thing that I see a lot today, and this, I took my son to concerts. I never went to a concert with my parents. And I don't know. I mean, I guess it's okay because, you know, my parents just didn't like the same music I liked. But there's more sharing today than there was with baby boomers and their parents. And that's really a cool thing. And so I see so many young people with their parents at concerts today. And it doesn't matter what the concert is. Maybe it's somebody from the 80s. Maybe it's somebody new. Maybe it's somebody from the 60s or 70s. Did you ever go to a concert with your parents? And do you even remember your first concert? I got into radio when I was 17 years old, and I don't think I'd been to a concert before that point. But not long after that, well, yes, I did. I mean, I remember going to the Warehouse probably about 16, but I don't even remember what my first concert was. So we'll add that to our conversation. Here is a text that says, won't make it with Bridgewater. Well, again, you know, Sean Payton knows a lot. He's there every day. I would like to think that he wants the Saints to win as much or more than you and I do, and that he knows what he's doing. And let's hope the news is good for Drew Brees. Herman, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, so I was calling concerning the fumble. Jordan had then took about two or three steps before that whistle was blown. And if I'm not mistaken, was Drew Brees hurt before then or he got hurt after that?
I'm trying to, suddenly I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I think he got hurt after that because they had the ball right where the fumble occurred at. And if that official wouldn't have called that, wouldn't have blew the whistle, Drew Brees would have never been in that position.
Well, you know,
we would have had to be kicking the ball back.
Well, you know, look, injuries happen, and that is a legitimate part of the game. And there's no way that that was, you know, anything other than just a freak accident. But the bad call, but you're right, because I remember watching that. I remember watching that play, yeah. And I remember Jordan picking up the ball, and it seems like it seems like when it looked like he was having a clear shot toward the end zone, that's when the whistle blew. But you know, I'm exactly. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember specifically, but that's what I think I remember.
Do you remember when New England was playing Oakland in the AFC Championship when Tom Brady when he fumbled the ball, but they called it was a what they called it? There was a no. He had fumbled it, but they changed the rule to an open hand. Yeah, mm-hmm. Open hand. That was the same thing what this guy here did.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you could look throughout the NFL and see that officials, as human beings, are guided by their subconscious
right
bias.
There. Yeah. The official was right there.
Yeah. Herman, I appreciate the call. Here's a text that says, no, Breeze was hurt first. I thought so. But, you know, again, you know, sometimes somebody asks you something and then you just kind of draw a blank on it. Breeze was hurt in the first quarter. The fumble happened in the second quarter. Here is, it is called the Brady Tuck Rule. And, I vaguely remember that, but I don't remember everything about it. From the French Quarter, Philippe, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
Well, I'm good. How's Daddy doing? Who's Daddy with right now?
I got my daughter. I'm driving her home.
Well, wait, was she at school?
Yeah, she's in school. She's in pre-K.
She sounds really cute.
Yeah, she's a handful.
Is she having fun? Yeah, is she having fun at school?
Seems to be napping most of the day.
Good. She's storing up her bad behavior for you and your wife.
That's true. Hey, so I got to tell you, I have a thing on my phone that gives me alerts when season tickets become available. And my phone today is just blowing up. We got so many Saints fans giving up on the team. Selling their tickets I got StubHub and those. I have alerts because I try to pick up some tickets
mm-hmm.
here and there. But I get this notice saying all these, this person selling the tickets. This person, even one person wrote because they wrote on the notes they said Teddy Toilet Water. They call them.
Oh, it's unfortunate.
But I think part of what is going on is. It's just the constant whining about calls. Like, I mean, it's just starting to sound a lot like Trump, right? Like, to me, it sounds like it's just whining. Oh, I get bad. This bad happened. This thing bad happened. Every team in the NFL is complaining about calls. But it seems like for the Who Dat Nation, it's just like they're whining all the time. It just never
– Well,
never
and, you know, always. Philippe, I'm in a tough position here because, you know, I'm not a whiner. And when it comes to New Orleans – You know, this city always feels like it's persecuted. And there are many times that I stand up and say, no, you know, we're not persecuted. Like there's some of the criticism of this city is very legitimate. So I'm in a tough position because I understand that bad calls are part of the game. But I would prefer the NFL. I think this would ease some fan frustration if the NFL would do a better job of letting the fans know that when officials blatantly don't do their job right, like you or me, they're held accountable. That's all.
I know, you know, but beating up on the NFL, I mean, you know, and I know, the only reason the Saints even got a team, we only have a team in New Orleans and the team's not in San Antonio is because the NFL stopped the Bensons from moving the team. So if anything, we should be on our hands and knees thanking the NFL for even letting us have a team because we wouldn't have one. They'd be gone. We're a small market. It's a poor state. We don't have a lot of money down here, and you know, but to always go after the NFL, act like they're after us. I mean, the only reason we have a team is because of the NFL. The Bensons were ready to leave.
I don't know all those. I wasn't here when that was going on. I don't know all those details. So I'm really not qualified to speak on that. I don't know what the emotion was at the moment. I heard talk. I was in Denver at the time, and I did hear talk about going to San Antonio. But again, since I wasn't here and paying that close attention to it, I really can't speak on that. You know, it's, look, I understand that point. But if we're to be held accountable in our society for mistakes that we make, whether we're kids or teenagers on the street or officials in a football game or you or me at work, I don't think there's anything wrong with holding people accountable. And there, you know, for example, in the Monday night game, for an official to not know a rule that had a big impact on the game, and the Saints could have lost that game, maybe even because of that call or because of that misunderstanding of the rule. There's no excuse for that. And if you were to do your job, if you're paid to do your job, why shouldn't you be held accountable for a blatant error? And there's a line to be drawn. I mean, some penalties are not as blatant as others. But some are so blatant that, you know, you get a sense that there is, for whatever reason, there is a subconscious bias in officials when it comes to some of the things that are called or not called. If you want to join us, 260-1870, text 870-870. Got a text here that says, first concert was Third Eye Blind in Thibodeau. I don't even remember my first concert, but I think it was at the Warehouse. And then after I got in the business at 17, I was going to a lot of concerts. What was your first concert? And did you go to concerts with your parents? And if you're a parent, do you take your kids to concerts? 55 years ago today, the Beatles performed at City Park Stadium in New Orleans. I'm Scoot. We're coming back. This is WWL. I hate when we play this song for the Saints, but yeah, it was a bad day all the way around, and hopefully they can regroup. And I mean, I think they can. Staying on the West Coast, staying in West Coast time, but they're going to be away from their surroundings, their personal surroundings at home, and their surroundings, their familiar surroundings at training camp. So let's hope under these circumstances they can put it all together. Also, it was 55 years ago today the Beatles performed in New Orleans at City Park Stadium. And this is my neighbor Vincent from Metairie. Vincent, welcome to the show.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing?
Good. Vincent and his wife Patty were neighbors of mine in the past. And so you were at the Beatles concert?
Yeah, I grew up about 4 or 5 blocks away from the stadium, and when the concert was, well, the people were going to the concert, I really didn't even know the concert was going on or was scheduled. And then I was just droves of girls and moms walking past my house.
Yeah.
And so I asked what was going on, and they said they were all going to the Beatles, and a couple of my friends and I decided, well, let's go see the Beatles. And we knew where the opening was in the fence in the back of Piccadilly Stadium because we kind of helped open it when we were kids. And so we snuck in, and in all honesty, I think we were probably a handful of guys that were in there, if that many. It was all young girls and mamas, and when they came on stage, all you could see was the guys playing the music. You couldn't hear a thing, and all you could hear were the women and the girls screaming.
Wow.
And it got so bad after about 2 songs of us not knowing what they were playing, we decided to leave. We went home, walked down the street. The entire neighborhood was outside on the porch. You could hear every word from the Beatles, and you couldn't hear any of the screaming.
That's crazy.
It was the weirdest thing.
What did you think? What did you think when you were there? I mean, this was a phenomenon. I was not there, but if you were there, that was just an interesting phenomenon that I don't think any. Well, I guess Elvis Presley, it caused somewhat of a commotion and some hysteria before that. But this was kind of a unique thing.
This was insanity, because what happened after the concert was the police put them in these cars, or actually what's now the SUVs, but back then they were like emergency vehicles, and they had a bunch of them, and they drove them all around. Well, all of the women and the girls all night long were running through the French Quarter trying to find out where they were staying, and they, you know, so rumors were flying all over the place that they were at the Roosevelt, they were at the Marriott. Well, they weren't in any of those places. They were staying at the Congress Inn.
That's
on
right.
Stephen Tour Highway.
That's right. And it's my understanding that they stayed out there because that was the only place where they could land a helicopter. They had enough space out there to land a helicopter, which is what they needed to get them around.
And the police actually stayed with them And then first thing in the morning, because I know because they have cousins that were on the police force, actually got up and got them to the airport as quickly as they could because they wanted to get them out of the city. So that's but the reality was I saw more women pass out from I have no idea what. And I think the strangest thing to me was prior to the concert, all I kept hearing from the moms and dads around my neighborhood was. In my circle was how the guys had long hair. And so when I went to see them, they were on stage, the hair was like right to the top of their ears. Now, it was all floppy and everything, but, I mean, it wasn't like years later when, you know, Mick Jagger and all of them had the hair down there to their shoulders and everything. It wasn't anything like that at all.
But at the time, that was just totally unruly hair.
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I have two more quick things I want to tell you. Number one, I never went to a concert with my parents for sure, because they grew up in an entirely different era, different type of music. I did take my son, Douglas, to a concert. I went to, he wanted to go see Stone Temple Pilot. My big mistake. I took him, did not know how to dress grungy. And so I really had no idea what I was getting myself into. And that was the first and last time I ever sent him to a concert. I took him to a concert. I said, after that, you're on your own. Deal with it, because I'm not going to take you there. The other thing I wanted to tell you is, I know you've been talking about the football and NFL, and all I can tell you is this. Typically, when you play on a team, you play against 11 other players. And I'm getting sick and tired of playing against the 11 other players plus all the guys with the striped shirts on.
Yep. That's right.
That's exactly what I feel like is going on.
I agree. Vincent, I appreciate the call, and thanks for sharing your experience with the Beatles with us.
Always nice talking to you.
All right, Vincent. Good to talk to you, too. And he was really a great neighbor, too. I mean, I never had to complain about him and his wife. Never. Now, I don't know. Maybe they complained about us. Going back to the Beatles very quickly, though, you know the average Beatle concert was like 20 minutes because their songs were so short. That they played a bunch of songs and they let, but the average Beatle concert was about like 20 minutes. And I think the tickets were $5, $5 or $6 for the concert at the City Park Stadium. And, you know, look, even in its heyday, the Congress Inn on Chef Highway was not that great. But that's where the Beatles stayed. And I, you know, look, it was a fascinating phenomenon. Here's a text that says, my first concert was Arlo Guthrie at the UNO Gym in 1968. I was 12. My 18-year-old sister was stuck babysitting, so she took me to the concert. Here's another text. My first concert was the Rolling Stones in the Superdome in 1978. I was 15 years old, and it was memorable, and the aroma was definitely in the air. Know what you mean. Hey, if you haven't noticed, we've made a change here. We've got more talk, more of your calls, and less interruptions here on WWL. I'm Scoot, and from Covington. Art, welcome to the show. Thanks for hanging on.
A gentleman from California, Scoot.
Yes.
I'm going to go back to California, and thank God he's got his teams, because he steals them from other cities.
Yeah, he didn't even sound like he was from California.
The Rams come from St. Louis.
Yeah.
And the Oakland teams come from Los Angeles a couple of times, and now they're going to Las Vegas.
Yeah, for those of you who are just tuning in, we had a guy who called from Anaheim, California, and told us all to stop whining and that the Rams beat us, and they did, and the Rams are going to beat up on us every time we play them, and we're just a bunch of crybabies, and I had to point out that, you know, you don't even have an NFL team. You got to drive to L.A. to see a team.
That's right. So then he's got to steal the team from St. Louis to bring it to L.A., so. Yeah. Tell him to go back and thank God he's got teams.
Art, I appreciate your call. From Atlanta, Edward, you're on WWL. Hello, Edward. Okay, from New Orleans, Troy, welcome to our show.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, look, I wanted to respond to about the officiating deal.
Yeah.
And I'm a gambler. I bet $1,100, $2,200 every almost every game.
Really?
And I'm kind of glad that the no call and all that happened to where people could see, what I've been experiencing all my lifetime with betting. Look, I could win first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter, and the last minute with one bad call from a paid off referee, my money is gone. So what I want to say is, this is a business. I don't know if you ever heard about the NFL. This is a business, and people are gonna have to just get used to it. There's nothing they're gonna be able to do about it. You're gonna get these bad calls. You're gonna get these good calls. Because this is a multi-million-dollar operation here.
All right, Troy, are you? I mean, you bet a lot of money. Are you ahead or are you behind?
I'm behind. I'm 13,000 behind last year, and I'm about 6,000 back from week one to week two, just trying to catch back up with my money.
Do you think you have a problem? Yeah,
they paid off. They rigged.
Well, I don't know if they are.
They rigged. And a lot of people are scared to even call your phone and tell you this. But I'm letting you know, y'all, ain't nothing we going to be able to do.
All right, but Troy, if you know this, why do you keep betting?
I'm going to tell you why. Because at the end of the day, if you got the right rigged up team, you could bring home a lot of money.
So do you take that into consideration when you bet on a team? Do you figure out which team you think is supposed to win?
Correct. And you can have the right team, but all it takes is one bogus call, and there's your money going right there at the end. And these people give you a line. You got 7-point spread, over and under 56 or 57. If you look at all these games, it's over 30-some games they play. Yeah. Every one of these games, those numbers going to be right there, a couple points off.
All right, Troy.
You can bet either way you want to bet. It's all going to go down to what team that they want to win.
All right, so Troy. So you were like, all right, you're down 13,000 from last year and 6,000 so far, and we've only got two games into the season. Do you think you have a problem?
Yes, and I'm quitting. I'm cutting out gambling because there's no way you can win. All these people are betting their money. Y'all need to stop betting because y'all can never beat the bookie.
Okay. Are you getting help? Do you need help?
No, I don't need help.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay.
With that game with last night, I watched over there last night, I was done.
Okay.
I'm not doing no more gambling. That's it. And if there's anybody out there that's smart, they better give it up. Because I'm gonna give you one more example and I'm gonna let you go.
Okay.
Because I know y'all got things to do. Now, over and under bets, all right, 57 is the over and the under. All right, if you put all, they're gonna have a percentage of the money gonna be on one side or on the other side. If you got all of the money on just say the over 52 points, these rigged up coaches, they're gonna run plays to make this game go slow and eat up clock. I'm telling you, they're officiating. They rigged up. Right. They paid off.
Troy,
I
have to get to a break, but I have the gambling hotline here if you want to call them.
No, I'm done. That's my last bit from last night.
Okay.
But thank y'all. Y'all guys are doing some great stuff on the air, and then y'all have a great day.
All right, Troy, I appreciate the call. But if anybody is having a gambling problem, here's a gambling hotline. It's 800-522-4700. You think we got to make a bet on whether or not that guy would actually call him? Anyway, it's 800-522-4700. 55 years ago today, the Beatles performed at City Park Stadium. There's a whole generation out there that thinks that Tiffany did this song. Oh, they think she wrote it. I even had a conversation with Tiffany about that. She goes, oh, when you were writing that song, I saw her standing there. I'm like, right. I'm Scoot. We're coming right back on WFUL. The Beatles performed at City Park Stadium on this day 55 years ago, and for many, that was their first concert. I wasn't there. I know it was at the Warehouse, but I don't even remember what my first concert was. Here's a text that says, first concert, Allman Brothers Municipal Auditorium, early 70s. Then went to the opera with my dad when Mom couldn't go. I just got a text on my personal phone, and a friend took a picture of their ticket to Queen, a Beaver production, Queen, October 31st, 1978, 8 o'clock, $8.50. Wow. So we're adding to the conversation here. First concert, if you can even remember your first concert. Here's a text that says, Scoob, my first concert was Johnny Cash at LSU Stadium in the winter of 72. I was three. My parents were splitting up, and I hadn't seen my dad in months. His resemblance to dad convinced me that I was watching my dad. Funny thing is, Mr. Cash was nice enough to come and say hi when we screamed bloody murder. Wow. I'm sorry your parents broke up. Here's a text that says, my first concert was Sonny and Cher. My parents took me and my younger brother, and I took my son to concerts all the time. He introduced me to the band Ninja Sex Party, and I took him to the Rolling Stones. We're seeing The Who and Phil Collins later this month. We love music. That's really cool. You know, if Sonny and Cher were my first concert, I think I would have remembered that. From Ponchatoula, Rose, you're on our show. Welcome.
Hi, Scoob. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I hate to go back to the refs.
That's all right.
I've been following football since before we ever had the Saints, okay?
Okay.
And the refereeing has always been just terrible. But it really seems to have been worse in these past 15, 20 years. And I just don't understand why the NFL hasn't made that a full-time job.
Well, yeah, a lot of these people are lawyers and doctors and accountants, CPAs. They're professional people. But, you know, even if they make it full-time, they're still going to be, as human beings, they're still going to be subject to their own subconscious bias at times.
Yes, as being human beings, I can understand that. But maybe if they took more time, because they're always having rules changes, okay? And maybe if they took their time and they had to study all these rule changes and go to, I think they go to all of the different teams now and they referee some of their practices, but they should referee all of them.
Yes. Well,
I
do understand that point, Rose, but, you know, they still should be able to do their job, whether it's full-time or not. And I just think the NFL needs to do a better job of holding officials that in front of fans just make a blatant mistake. I think they should hold them accountable.
I think so, too. And I appreciate you taking my call.
Rose, I appreciate you listening to our show. Here's a text that says, Scoot, do you like any women singers? Oh, yeah. Of course I like women singers. I do like a lot of women singers. Why am I drawing a blank here? I mean, I know it's Ian Hogue just said in my ear, because there's so many. I mean, I'm drawing a blank. I mean, I like Madonna. I just very recently, I kind of had a crush on Terry Nunn of Berlin. When I met her, Cindy Wilson of the B-52s, she's a great singer. Stevie Nicks. I mean, yeah, the list goes on and on. Here's a text that says, did you hear Cam Jordan call the ref a footlocker ref? Yes, apparently referred to the ref as a footlocker ref, and I think that was really well-deserved. From Hattiesburg, Patrick, welcome to the show.
I'm sorry, you caught me off guard with that. I didn't hear that before.
It's appropriate, right? A footlocker ref.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm going to throw you back here. My first concert, and a quick little story on this. I was a Boy Scout in New Orleans, and rather than sell cookies and stuff like that, we worked at the Superdome for Ogden Foods.
Oh, wow.
And we would go in, and mainly we'd go in so we could sell food or programs or souvenirs, and then later part of the night we'd go ahead and watch whatever event was going on. My first concert was seen that way, and it was the Day of Rock and Roll in the Dome. Do you remember that?
Oh, I was there.
Yeah. Nazareth, Foghat, Heart,
Blue
Oyster Cult. I can't remember who else, but that was, refresh my memory, was that 13 hours?
Well, you know, I was in the process of killing brain cells, so I can't be certain. I can't be certain.
But it was a long concert. But
yeah, it was.
The main reason I wanted to call was, look, when we buy an NFL ticket, we're buying excellence. And you don't hear anyone complain about a hold that wasn't caught or a face mask that wasn't caught. or an offside that wasn't called, anything like that. The only thing we're complaining about is these major penalties that can swing the game.
Yep.
And for your Anaheim listener, he referred to last year's call as a arguable.
No, there was nothing arguable about that. Yeah.
That's my point. There was nothing arguable about this. This was even conceded by the NFL. All right, so I'm expecting excellence from the referees as well as my players.
Well, and certainly, if nothing else, you're expecting fairness. And the call yesterday, the ball blown dead, and it seemed like the whistle blew after it looked like Cam Jordan had picked it up and started running. I mean, I can't be sure about that. But that call was so close that there's no way an official could justify calling the ball dead under those circumstances, and everybody seemed to agree with that.
That's right, and that's my point, okay? I can understand an occasional missed call on sure. something, you know, minor. But these are – it's not like they happened in an instance of seconds. It's not like we couldn't go back to the replay. These are obvious calls that are made by mistakes made by amateurs.
Well, and the instinct – you know, the instinct of the official should be to not blow the whistle. The instinct should be to let the play go. And Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were very much critical of the NFL. But, you know, they stopped – Patrick, I appreciate the call. Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were very critical of the NFL and that call, and then they stopped. And I wonder if Fox Sports got a call from the NFL, and the NFL said, tell the guys to shut up about talking about that bad call. They did recap it at the very end, but they stopped talking about it because that really was a big turning point of the game. Hey, like if you're stuck in traffic, I-10 westbound, closed near Prairieville, there's an overturned 18-wheeler. Again. So for those of you who were stuck in traffic on Friday, it wasn't because it was Friday the 13th, because here you are stuck in traffic on Monday the 16th. And it's not always the trucker's fault, but somebody's at fault because 18-wheelers just don't suddenly overturn. So we'll do this song for person who sent me a text and said their first concert was Sonny and Cher. That was a long time ago. You know, we'll bring this topic up again because we were kind of distracted with some of the Saints stuff and Drew Brees' injury. But I want to redo this conversation about going to concerts with your parents, or if you're a parent taking your kids to a concert, because that's something that I never did with my parents. And I think many baby boomers didn't go to concerts with their parents. I'm Scoot. We are coming back on WWL. I got a text here that says, first concert was Aerosmith, City Park, 1975. I remember Alice Cooper at City Park Stadium in the 70s, and some guy handed me a joint that was like, it was like rolled in 8.5 by 11 paper. I mean, that's how big the thing was. It was like a cigar. The thing was just huge. I mean, it probably had a quarter of a pound, not quarter, but a quarter of a gram, not a quarter gram, quarter ounce. There you go. See, I even forgot the measurements of pot. That's how long it's been. Either that or maybe, you know, the brain cells were killed because of the pot. Hey, Sports Talk is coming up next. Second guest show live from the Silver Slipper Casino on the beautiful beaches of Hancock County, Mississippi, with Bobby Hebert and Mike Dettillier. I'll talk about the Saints. I'll talk about LSU. And at 6:30, it is the Coach's Show. And then following that, Monday Night Football, Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. All of this on your home for the Saints and NFL, WWL, the Big 870 and 105.3 FM. I wrote a blog. It's on our website, Blown Call. It happened again. It's about Drew Brees' injury, but it's also about the blown call. You can read that and share it. I'll put it on the SOTA Facebook page later as well. So you can also join me on Facebook. It's an extension of the show, Scoot on the Air, SOTA. And I'm very active on the WWL Radio Facebook page as well. I want to thank Diane Newman, our program director, Todd Manessis, our show producer, Ian Hoke, our studio producer, and thank you for being part of our show. Thanks for the calls. Thanks for the texts. Thanks for listening. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.